Welcome to it then, the Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with AK Bets, the informed Steve Palmer joins us on the punter's bag once again, Steve, and the glory, Matt Wallace, getting the job done.
Welcome back, Phileas. Phileas Fogg has returned 4 weeks sailing around the world and now he's deigned to show up for work again. Welcome back, Dave. Yes, while you've been sailing, we've been tipping lots of winners.
Yes, shout out to Wazza, Warren Ashurst, who's done a great job steering the ship, and he's been a good luck charm to you, Steve. You've been on fire.
He has. Wazza's a proud Yorkshireman, an extremely nice fella, and I've enjoyed working with him, but I enjoy working with you too, Dave. Don't get jealous. We're all mates together. we're all mates together. And you can help me get over my greed. I mean, I've been very, very greedy because I was quite moody on Sunday, even though Matt Wallace won at Cranfirth the Hour. My mood was not what it should have been because our number one tip had won. That normally sets up a double opportunity, Dave. And I was angry that there was no PGA Tour event in the evening because I thought, well, I should be on for a double here. My number one's won the DP World Tour event. Normally, it would open up a myriad opportunities. How can you be moody after having the winner? But I was on Sunday, which is worrying.
One of the seven deadly sins, that, Steve. Three.
I've got a lot of sins. Gluttony is another one, isn't it? I'm quite gluttonous and I'm quite greedy, but hopefully you can get me back on the straight and narrow.
Good stuff. It's been a while since I've seen you. The vibes I'm getting is that your pecker is well and truly up at the moment.
Yeah, my pecker's up. Yeah, after that foolish mood swing on Sunday night, my pecker is up. We got four tournaments this week, Dave. We all know what that means. Yeah, great opportunity for us.
Absolutely. We'll get stuck into that. We're, of course, brought to you by AK Bets. We've got a welcome offer for you there. Sweet Spot 25 is the code you want to be using. And you'll get 50% of your stake back if you place your first bet on any golf market, opening a new account with AK Bets. Reminder of the code there is Sweet Spot 25. Right, let's get to it then, Steve. Last week, it was beautiful. The rolling fog, just everything. I mean, this is a golf course. Can we get to there? How do we get there? Can I play there?
Phileas Fogg enjoying the rolling fog. I mean, yeah, you can get there. You can get there if you've got lots of dollar. It's a lovely resort. I think Sergio García's got a little cabin there, isn't he? Adam Scott's got a cabin there. So, yeah, it's for the rich man and lady. And I'm not sure we fit that category, but it was joyous just to watch Matt Wallace do the business, wasn't it?
Right, he was a 20-1 winner for yourself. Just talk us through what happened. A 62 on Friday was kind of the move, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then great resilience thereafter. Yeah, we mentioned last week the improvements in his temperament. Seems a much more measured character these days at the age of 34. And he kept his head in some difficult circumstances last week. It was a wet start to the event. Then you had a windy Saturday, really windy Saturday, a misty, foggy Sunday, as you mentioned. So really unsettled weather. And he remained calm, composed throughout. I was really impressed and I'm really pleased for him. You see how much it meant to him in the interview afterwards. He was, he couldn't contain himself. Yeah, there was a few tears. Yeah, this is a seriously determined character. And it was a joy for mankind on Sunday.
Yeah, I've been with him a few times and you can see the mental side has not quite been there. The frustration creeps in. And I've read that it's the first time in 6 years that he's won an event. That's incredible.
On the DP World Tour, yeah. He made his breakthrough on the PGA Tour and the Corrales Punta Cana. But yeah, you're right. He's got in his way a lot of times. You know, too feisty, too angry when things go wrong. But he's obviously learned from those mental errors. And he looks a much more formidable character now.
Yeah, good stuff. Any other takeaways? What about Beefy back in the frame?
Yeah, nice to see Beefy. Yeah, everyone loves Beef. And he hung in there well, didn't he? So, yeah. If Beefy's back as a DP World Tour contender, I think that will please everybody. Yeah, such a likable fella. And then Alex Fitzpatrick was the other one we should mention. You know, we got some, we were on him each way, tied sixth. Got bags of ability, probably the best maiden on the DP World Tour, I'd say. But yeah, he's got the game. He's just got to prove his mettle now, because on Saturday, he opened with a double bogey out in the final group and started with a double bogey. That was a bit worrying for Fitzpatrick fans. But yeah, we'll certainly keep him on our radar.
Is it one of those, Steve, where because he's played at altitude, it's a little bit of an outlier maybe, and it's not just because a player has performed well here, we're going to latch onto him and keep an eye on him? Or... yeah, they're genuine players that you think have played well and like, here we are.
It is a quirky track, isn't it? But yeah, Fitzpatrick's been playing well for a long time. I do expect him to make a PGA, a DP World Tour breakthrough at some point, probably next year now.
Okay, right. Good stuff. Let's get to it then. The Irish Open. Now, we are off to Royal County Down golf course here, and we've got some big names on show. The biggest name of all, of course, Rory McIlroy in the field. Steve, what are your initial thoughts on this one?
Yes. We won't be tipping Rory McIlroy. We'll discuss him at the end. Yeah, fantastic field. Are you going to go through the prices now so I can have a glug of water?
Yes, I will. Of course. Right. With AK Bets then, Rory is 13-2. We've got Shane Lowry at 12-1. Aaron Rye, 14s. Bobby McIntyre at 18s. Rasmus Højgaard, 22s. Robert Thomas Dietrich, 28. Bernd Wiesberger at 30s. The list goes on. Decent field this one, Steve.
Very much so, John. Yeah, and always a cracking atmosphere. And I'm actually heading over to Ireland on Sunday. So I will be in Ireland for the end of the Irish Open. It's in Northern Ireland, this one. I'll be a little bit further south. But yeah, I'm excited to be in amongst Irish folk.
Right. I've got this one as being used in 2015, this course. What can you tell us about it?
That's correct. Yes. Royal County Down, Newcastle, County Down, Northern Ireland, 7,186 yards, par 71, only three par fives. It opened this course in 1889. Yeah, it's one of the oldest golf clubs in the world. And many regard it as the best golf course in the world. You know, it's highly regarded. And you can see why. You know, a classic championship course, rugged terrain. That 2015 Irish Open really showcased how difficult this course is. Two under par was enough to top the leaderboard after 72 holes in 2015. The first hole and the 12th hole were the only holes that played under par. You've got penal rough, gorse bushes, heather, deep bunkers, loads of blind tee shots, Dave. You know, they're really demanding, aren't they, when you can't even see where you're supposed to go. You know, you've really got to golf your ball around here. And the weather, rarely straightforward. It's going to be chilly for the first 2 days this week. Might get some showers on Saturday. Light to moderate breezes all week. So, yeah, real test for the field of 156.
Is that a factor, Steve, the old blind tee shot? I mean, any pro worth their salt and with their caddy should know the score, right?
Yeah. But you've got to drive your ball really well around here. The punishment for errant shots here, you might end up in a gorse bush. You might end up in all sorts of trouble. Yeah, you have to be backing quality ball strikers this week.
Right. How many in the team then for the Irish Open?
We got five, three at big prices.
Lovely. Right. Main selection is
Shane Lowry. Come on, Shano. Come on, you big beauty. I'll be over in Ireland and I'll be cheering on the Irishman. We know Shane Lowry can handle the Irish Open. He won this event as an amateur in 2009. That was his first appearance on the DP World Tour. An amazing achievement to win first time out. It came at the County Louth Links. So we've known for the best part of two decades that Shane Lowry is an elite links golfer. He's proven that fact on numerous occasions, not least when winning the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in 2019. He was a six-shot victor in that one in Northern Ireland, lifted the claret jug in front of adoring galleries. I can see a similar success in Northern Ireland on Sunday. Lowry most recently showcased those link skills in the Open in July. He led for a long way at Royal Troon. We were on in that week, you remember. He eventually finished sixth. Who's better at handling a difficult links layout in this field than Shane Lowry? I would suggest the answer is emphatically nobody. He was 43rd at Royal County Down in 2015. I'm expecting much better this week. He's playing so well. It's been such a tidy campaign for Lowry. This is the first year he's qualified for the Tour Championship. So it underlines what a consistent campaign he's having. He was the eighth best scorer at Eastlake in the Tour Championship. He finished ninth in the FedEx Cup. He's had six top tens this year. Also won the Zurich Classic Pairs event with McIlroy, you might remember it, in April. The only thing missing for Shane this year has been some individual silverware. I think it's going to come on Sunday. He's the best equipped for Irish Open success.
That's wonderful. And that is a tip I can get behind as well. Imagine the scenes. Just imagine the scenes on Sunday. It'd be incredible.
Well, that's it. I mean, the scenes at Royal Portrush in 2019 will live long in the memory. Yeah, he's a joy spreader, isn't he, Big Shano? And he's going to spread joy all over the Emerald Isle on Sunday.
A joy spreader. Love that. Right. Next best selection is
Bernd Wiesberger, 30-1. with AK Betts. Keeping the faith with Burnt Cheeseburger. Keeping the faith with Matt Wallace proved a sensible tactic last week. It's too early to give up on Wiesberger as well. He put in another solid shift last week. That was his 12th top 25 finish of the year. Six of his last eight tournaments have yielded a top 25 finish. He's fully settled back on the DP World Tour now. And this stiff ball striking test, ideal for Wiesberger. He's exceptional from tee to green. And he showed love for this course in 2015, the Irish Open you mentioned. He lost a playoff to Søren Kjeldsen. Top the leaderboard on 72 holes with Søren Kjeldsen and Eddie Pepperell. And then Kjeldsen won the playoff. And at that stage of his career, Wiesberger had only won twice on the DP World Tour. He came to that tournament having just missed back-to-back cuts, so wasn't in great heart. He's since gone on to win another six DP World Tour titles. One of them was the Scottish Open on a links course. I would argue he's in his prime at the age of 38. You know, a half-decent week of putting. I don't see how Wiesberger's out the frame.
Okay, solid each-way play then, the Cheeseburger. Yeah. Right, next then, Steve, third on the list.
Julian Gallier, 100-1 with AK Betts. Julian Gallier relishes links golf. He says he grew up in a particularly windy part of France, quickly learned how to handle his ball in a breeze. Then he won the amateur championship in 2006 at Royal St. George's, underlining that point. He's won twice on the Challenge Tour in 2017. One of those victories came in Ireland, the Irish Challenge. He's had eight top threes on the DP World Tour. So he's been knocking at the door for many a moon. Will he make his breakthrough this week? He's 39 years of age. I think it's entirely feasible. He went close at Hillside. Hillside, another links track on the DP World Tour. 2022 Kazoo Classic. He was third in that. I've seen enough good golf from him in recent months to think that he's going to go close this week at a juicy price.
Lovely. Big price there. Of course, do remember to like, comment and subscribe. And just for the comedy value, smash the auto captions on as well, just to see what some of Steve's pronunciations and accents have come out like underneath. But a big price there, right? That's number three. And do the prices get bigger?
They certainly do. And we're up for a 250-1 chance. 250-1 with AK Betts. Matthew Baldwin, another Lynx master, grew up in Southport, knows Royal Birkdale like the back of his hand, won on the Challenge Tour in 2011. Made his DP World Tour breakthrough in windy conditions in last year's SDC Championship. That's at the St. Francis Links in South Africa. He's got the tools to handle Royal County Down. He almost won on the Challenge Tour in Northern Ireland in 2019, the ISPS Handa World Invitational, lost a playoff in Ballymena. He was third in the 2014 Irish Open, fifth in the 2012 Scottish Open at the Castle Stewart Links. And he's been lively of late, Dave. 12th in the Czech Masters last month, an unlucky 18th in the British Masters last time out. I say unlucky because he has a really unfortunate incident with a driver head that cracked on his downswing, Dave. He couldn't get it out of the way in time. And then it actually propelled his ball backwards 8 yards. He hit a drive backwards 8 yards. so unlucky. So despite having a drive which went backwards 8 yards, he finished in the top 20 in the British Masters. I think you'd agree that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Okay. And he's a big price, right? Matthew Baldwin,
yeah. 250-1 with AK Betts. Yeah, delicious each-way price.
Yeah, not a player that I've backed before, but that is all going to change this week. That sort of price, I'm in. And the fifth and final selection is...
Grant Forrest. Run, Forrest, run! 225-1 with AK Betts. Another player... hugely comfortable on links terrain. Another player who won't fear whatever the weather gods throw at them this week. It's not going to be too pretty. He's a 31-year-old Scot. He was the Scottish amateur champion in 2012 at Royal Dunnock. He won the St. Andrews Links Trophy in 2014. He was runner-up in the 2015 Amateur Championship at Carnoustie. So he knows he can handle tough links terrain. And his Irish Open record is fantastic. He was 14th in 2019, 4th in 2021, 3rd last year. He tied with Gallier at Hillside in the 2022 Kazoo Classic on links terrain. His DP World Tour breakthrough came on a links, 2021 Hero Open, Fairmont St. Andrews. His links record is amazing. And there have been some good signs lately that he's getting his game back in order. He was 33rd at the Belfry last time out after a run of making cuts. So, yeah, I've got some really exciting outsiders for this.
Oh, lovely. We don't have to have a lot on at them big prices, Steve. I know that much. Right, let's tackle some of the big guns in this market then, and none bigger than Rory. What are your thoughts? 13-2 with AK bets.
Well, AK's out to get him, and I can understand why. I mean, McIlroy just seems disgruntled with golf at the moment. You know, since that US Open, which went horribly wrong, I think he's been desperate for the golfing year to end. This week, as I mentioned, going to be chilly, breezy at times. You're going to be real discipline, focus, determination. Is McIlroy up for that task? I suspect he's not. You know, he's going to be the centre of attention. He missed the cut by 4 shots in the 2015 Irish Open here. Yeah, I think he's going to need a good start to get his tail up, and you know, he might warm to the task in those circumstances. But I'm not going to play those short odds to find out. I think there's only one tournament remaining this year that he's genuinely looking forward to, David. That is when he plays with his dad in the Dunhill Links. I'm not sure he's in the right frame of mind for this one.
Yeah, does he have to play? He's committed to play this event, you think?
Well, the schedule is mapped out very early in the year, isn't it? But yeah, I think mentally he changed at that US Open. You know, it was an absolute gut buster, and he's honouring the commitment, you know, to playing in his homeland, and you know, good for him. But yeah, I just don't think he's invested. He looked so glum at the US Open tennis the other day. Did you see him? He was watching the tennis semi-finals, and he just seems a bit glum at the moment.
Okay.
We'll move on.
I don't want anyone to be glum.
But
no, you want to be a joy spreader. That's what you need to be doing.
Exactly.
Life as a joy spreader. Right, Aaron Wright, 14-1. Thoughts? He's been going okay recently.
Yeah. You have to respect him. Yeah, I think Shane Lowry can outclass him on Lynx terrain. Yeah, I think Aaron Wright has to be respected, but at those sort of prices, I can't be backing him.
Well, those sort of prices. What about 18-1 Bobby Mack?
Well, back injury, wasn't there? There was a back injury during the FedEx Cup playoffs. You go into a chilly course this week, and yeah, the back injury could reemerge at any moment.
Right, and finally, Rasmus Højgaard. What about that one?
Rasmus Højgaard, yeah, had that great final round at the Belfry. Bit up and down last week. Yeah, obviously one of my favourite players, but yeah, I can live without him.
Right, we're going with Lowry, and we're going with players at massive, massive prices as well. So we'll get a roundup of Steve's selections for the Irish Open at the back end of the show. We are going to move on then. We are off to America here, Steve. We're off to the Silverado Resort. I've read here that the fairways are only 20 metres wide on average, which seems incredible. The Pro Core Championship, formerly known as the Fortinet Championship, I think it's a weird time of the year, isn't it, in the PGA? But here we are. What sort of track are we looking at?
Yeah. It's the North Course at Silverado Resort, Napa Valley, California. 7,166 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s. Yeah, hosted the Fries.com Open in 2014 and 2015, then the Safeway Open from 2016 through 2020. Then it became the Fortinet Championship from 2021 through 2023, and now we got some new sponsors again in the shape of Procore. You mentioned the fairways. I mean, this is a resort course, but it's no pushover. The fairways are quite tight. The rough is quite thick. The greens are quite small, but yeah, it's a short course. Sahith Theegala carded 21 under par for 72 holes when he won for us last year in this. And the weather looks good: sunny, warm, light to moderate breezes. Field of 144 going to post.
And a sort of interesting underlying story that quite a few, at least at the head of the market, we're going to see in a couple of weeks, the President's Cup.
That's it. I mean, they are the favourites this week. We'll discuss them at the end. I'm not backing any of them. But we'll talk about why after the tips.
Right, let's have a show then. First, Sahith Theegala, defending champion, 11-1. Wyndham Clark, 12s of AK Betts. Corey Connors at 14s. Maverick McNealy, 22s. Minwoo Lee at 22s, and big prices the remainder, 25-1 bar. Right, how many in the team for this one, Steve?
We've only got two selections for this. We've got a 5-2-3 formation on the men's golf this week.
Okay, right, some sort of Christmas tree formation there. Right, we've only got two here then. Who's the main pick?
Maverick McNealy, 22-1 with AK Betts. The time has come. Maverick McNealy, former world number one amateur, a college player so impressive Many observers thought we were seeing the new Tiger Woods. He broke records that Tiger Woods had at Stanford University. McNealy made his professional debut in the 2017 Safeway Open, which is now the Pro Corps, and he finished in 52nd place. He made his first three cuts at Silverado on the PGA Tour. Then he was second in the 2021 Fortinet Championship there. Max Homa beat McNealy by a shot. McNealy has finished runner-up twice on the PGA Tour. Both of those efforts have come in his home state of California. Six of the last eight winners of this tournament have been Californian. And McNealy will keep that streak going, I think. They're comfortable on the Poana greens. You know, these greens are a nightmare for people from the other side of America. But McNealy loves them. I suspect the time has come. He's been threatening all year. Sixth place in Phoenix, ninth at Sawgrass, seventh in Canada, third in the 3M Open at the end of July, 12th last time out in the St. Jude Championship. And he's got a union with his brother. The union with his brother could be the catalyst that gets him over the line at last. His brother scalped McNealy, has taken over caddying duties, Dave. So, you know, his scout was a good player in his own right, had some shoulder problems, so he's had to move on to other jobs. But Maverick and Scout, about a month ago, they got together, and I think they're going to be a devastating team. And their billionaire dad could be a proud man on Sunday night.
Lovely. And I love that the family feel. We saw Bobby Mack with his dad on the bag, and different sport, but Judd Trump came alive. He started taking his brother on tour with him, and he just had that sort of grounding, familiar face next to him. I know a lot of players get on with their caddy anyway, so I like that. I wasn't aware that his brother was on the bag a month ago, so I like that a lot.
Well, this is it. He got rid of his old caddy, and you know, a month ago, the union with Scout. And you remember Dustin Johnson, obviously. Dustin Johnson and his brother had great success together. I've never had a brother, so I don't know that, you know, the brotherly love that's involved. But it's a tight union, and Scout knows his onions. And I'm looking forward to seeing these two in action together.
Yeah, I wonder. I've not got a brother either, but I suppose probably the honesty, isn't it, that comes with it. It's probably that your brother can probably tell you something that maybe one of your mates or an employee of you couldn't.
Yeah, and I suppose you have a sort of intuition with each other. I'll tell you who has got a brother. Jonathan Hobbs has got a brother, because when I went to watch Chelsea the other day, I was in a bar on the Fulham Road and having a few beers before the game, and the King's Arms. And I thought I'd saw Hobbsy, and I bowled over to him, and I went, "Hobbsy!" And I was, and this fellow was looking at me, going, "Yeah, it just looks so much like him." And he's just looking at me, and he's going, "Yeah, hi." And I was going, "Hobbsy!" And then after about 15 seconds, I realized, you know, he made it clear that he's Jonathan Hobbs's brother. I didn't know he had a brother. He's a dead ringer. I said, "Are you twins?" And he goes, "No, he's 5 years older than me, you cheeky bugger."
Former employee of the Racing Post, of course, Jonathan.
Yes, sorry, yeah, Jonathan Hobbs, greyhound man, yes. And it's nothing worse going up to someone.
What were you doing at a Chelsea match, Steve?
I went and watched Chelsea Palace. It was my dad's 80th birthday present. I got tickets. I got a couple of season.
Do you not like your dad?
I got a couple of season tickets and went to that, and I was so convinced that was Jonathan Hobbs. But fortunately, the fella that was with Hobbsy's brother was a big Sweet Spot fan, and he intervened and managed to sort it all out. And he wanted a photo with me, and that smoothed it over a little bit. So sorry, I've gone off on a tangent.
A little bit of a tangent, but it's all good. Right, we are with Maverick McNealy, main selection 22-1. Who is the other pick here?
JJ Spawn, 35-1 with AK Betts. Another Californian born player, should be ultra comfortable this week. Like McNealy, he went to college in California. He won on the Canadian Tour in 2015. He won on the Corn Ferry Tour in 2016. His PGA Tour career has had some injury and illness issues. But in 2022, he was fit and firing again. And he made his breakthrough in the 2022 Texas Open. Ninth in the 2020 Safeway Open. 11th last year. Tees up this week as one of the form players in the field. His form figures are 10, 23, 45, 29, 9, 3. Ninth in the 3M Open, third in the Wyndham last time out. So, Spawn bringing form and confidence to his home state.
Lovely. Good stuff. Rest of the field then, Steve. We mentioned the the market leaders, the Gala, Wyndham Clark, Corey Connors. No love for them here this week?
Well, you got five President's Cup players teeing up this week. Float my boat. I think teeing up this week is a sign of they're not entirely happy with their game. You know, the ones that are resting up for the President's Cup. It's certainly not the case for Max Homer, who's been awful lately. He's really lost his driving ability. So he's looking to find some form there. Minwoo Lee's been a bit inconsistent lately. Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes, I don't see how they can focus because, you know, it's probably the biggest event of their careers coming up, a President's Cup in Canada. They're just probably looking to work on certain things. So I would question the focus. I mean, Sahith Theegala is probably the most appealing of that lot. But would he be here if he were not defending champion? I'm not sure he would. So I think his mind might have advanced to the President's Cup as well. So, yeah, I don't prefer anyone above Maverick McNealy in the betting. I think McNealy is the standout bet.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. And just quickly on the President's Cup, America are a very short price, I think, and rightly so, looking at the team. All the big guns are there.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jim Furyk made a couple of dodgy decisions with his picks. But, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
2 weeks away, not too far away there, the President's Cup. Right, should we move on to Liv, the Livers?
Yeah, very much so.
You sound very excited by that, Steve. Right, Liv Golf, Chicago Invitational. There's kind of going to be the story here of John Rahm against Neiman, isn't there? Just sort of give us that. That's kind of the main point of this final event, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. There's £18 million up for grabs. Sorry, $80 million going to the season-long winner, and there's only two that have a mathematical chance, and that is John Rahm and Wackham Neiman.
Does anyone care other than those two? Because there's a lot of money involved. They will care, but does anyone really? You know, is it a betting heat? It's not very interesting.
They care. I expect Wackham Neiman probably cares slightly more than John Rahm, but yeah, they all love money. These guys. Hopefully we're going to make some money on the event.
Good answer. That's right. Course. Let's talk about the course here then. Where are we and what is it like?
Well, it's a new one. It's Bolingbrook Golf Club, Bolingbrook, Illinois, 7,104 yards. So very short, par 72, four par fives, got a drivable par four as well. The first two Live Chicagos were at Rich Harvest Farms. So we've gone to a new venue for the third edition. And you mentioned all the money involved this week. It's fascinating for me, this, because Bolingbrook, you know, is a really humble course on the outskirts of Chicago. It costs less than $100 at peak rates to play this course. You've got $18 million in prize money being handed out upon it. Three of the par fives are really easy. There's a drivable par four, as I mentioned. I think they're going to rip this course to shreds. I think it's ludicrously easy for a tournament of this stature. Good weather forecast as well. Light to moderate breezes. I think we're going to get loads of rounds in the low 60s. Field of 54 going to post. 54 holes of stroke play.
Yeah. Do you feel like the Livers set the course up a little bit different to how they would on the PGA Tour? You know, if this was a PGA Tour event, do you think the course would be set up slightly different?
I don't think they mind an easy track. I think they like the headlines that come from those super low rounds. Obviously, we've had a 58 there from BDC. I don't think they care about setting up easy courses.
Right. Okay. Market then. John Rahm heads the field at 5-1 with AK Betts. We've got Bryson DeChambeau at 8, Swaki Neiman at 10s, Tyrrell Hatton 12s, Cam Smith 14, Brooks Koepka 16. And Louis Oosthuizen at 20s and Sergio Garcia at 22-1 as well. How many are we going with here, Steve?
Three. These are our three attackers in the 5-2-3 formation.
Okay. Right. Lovely stuff. Who is the main pick then for the Livers this week?
Bryson DeChambeau, 8-1 with AK Betts. He should be favourite, in my opinion. We can come on to the actual favourite after my tips, but DeChambeau, the most likely winner for me. This week's course, there for the taking. A powerhouse can overwhelm it. Three of the par fives present eagle opportunities for DeChambeau. There's a drivable par four as well. He carded a 58, as we mentioned, on the Live circuit. He can go birdie crazy. He's at the peak of his powers at the age of 30. He won the US Open in June. His 2024 form figures in the three stateside majors were 6-2-1. He won the 2015 US Amateur in Chicago. He won Live Golf Chicago last year. He loves this part of the world, and I think he's in the right mood to retain his title. He's in a great mood, Dave. DeChambeau has never been happier. He's a YouTube star. He's become the people's champion in America after that US Open. It takes a lot to ruffle his feathers these days, and I think that's going to be really important this week, because this course is not up to the standards of that these pampered professionals are used to. You know, it's a municipal. That's a tough one to get at. It's a municipal, and it's a bit ropey in places, if I'm honest. And it's remarkable that an $18 million tournament is taking place here, to be honest. So I can see the likes of John Rahm, Wackham Neiman, getting extremely hot under the collar on these greens. Doesn't take much to get them hot under the collar. You got Tyrrell Hatton, Sergio García, Brooks Koepka. Doesn't take much to get them hot under the collar. The Live circuit is full of hotheads, Dave. But I see DeChambeau just having fun like he does now. The modern DeChambeau just has fun. He actually plays a lot of municipals on his YouTube channel. He goes to municipals and plays fun games with John Daly and Donald Trump and various others. He just likes having fun, and I think he'll have the right attitude for this. And he's got focus for the team event. The Crushers. He's the captain of the Crushers, and they're top of the team standings. And next week you've got the team finale. So winning this will help with that. So it's all about DeChambeau this week.
Lovely, good stuff. And there are hotheads. Do you think we'll see Garcia maybe take his shoes off and throw him out of a bunker or anything if he's not happy with conditions?
There's a lot of hotheads. I mean, Patrick Reed, did I mention him? I mean, the Live Golf circuit is sort of 80% hotheads. And DeChambeau.
I'd like to see a Live Royal Rumble. I think that'd be quite a good deal.
Yeah, I agree. And DeChambeau used to be a hothead, but he's
like the darling of American golf now, isn't he? What a turnaround.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool as a cucumber. He let everyone touch his trophy after the US Open. Yeah, it was an amazing PR stunt, but he invited everyone in the winner's speech to come and touch his trophy. Come and touch my trophy. And they all did. They were queuing up, and it was getting dark, and the tournament organisers are thinking, bloody hell, I said, come on, mate, we need to shut this place. That's the measure of the man these days.
And you mentioned his YouTube channel. Superb. I've not watched the John Daly one yet, but the Donald Trump is worth a view.
Yeah. He loves it, doesn't he? He's got time in his hands with the Live circuit, not playing that often. He keeps himself active. He's loving life. Live's been fantastic for him. It hasn't been fantastic for John Rahm.
No, another joy spreader. Another joy spreader for sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Here's the main selection then, and he is 8-1 with AK Betts. Who's he joined by?
David Pudge, 40-1 with AK Betts, a rising star of the sport. Well suited to this week's assignment. A very aggressive player. This course sets up to be attacked. He made his Live Golf debut in Live Chicago in 2022. So this tournament holds fond memories for him. He's looked like a champion in waiting for me lately. He was third in Live Houston in June. Top 15 finishes in his last two Live starts. Hugely impressive elsewhere on the Asian Tour. He's been winning. He's been contending every time he tees up on the Asian Tour. He's been qualifying for majors. He's definitely worth an each-way tickle, is Pooj. He's got the game.
Big price as well. Okay. And you mentioned the team event. Steve, do you care much for that? Is that something that we could have bet on at the start?
You couldn't bet on the season-long race, but every week a few firms trickle out their team event prices, and next week it'll be fully focused on that. Yeah, there'll be no individual betting next week. It'll be the team event, and maybe Crushers will come out on top.
Okay, right. And he's the captain, DeChambeau. Yeah, the Crushers. I don't take any notice of the team stuff.
Oh, do you not? No. DeChambeau is the captain, and
The name like Crushers. He had to be.
Well, he's got a strong team. Paul Casey, Anirban Lahiri, Charles Howell normally in that team, but he's been injured for a little while. So DeChambeau's had a lot to think about this year. He had to bring John Catlin in off the subs bench. And the captain's role is so important in Live Golf.
Okay, right. Sounds it. John Rahm then is our 5-1 market leader. And you mentioned there that, maybe he won't enjoy the conditions and that might count against him. I mean, there's got to be a lot in his favour to be playing at 5-1, isn't there? And there clearly isn't.
No, I think he'll throw his toys out the pram pretty early this week. he'd be raging at the greens. He's like a volcano waiting to go off. I think the money probably does mean something to John Rahm because, yeah, he likes talking about generational wealth, doesn't he? And, setting up the Rahm dynasty. And another $18 million if the Bolingbroke Greens cost his grandson's 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 grandson a solid start in life, then he's not going to be happy with that, as he said. Yeah, I think Rahm's an accident waiting to happen this week. I think the head's going to come off.
And he wouldn't be a joy spreader, would he, John Rahm? I think he's a joy killer more than a joy spreader.
He wouldn't be a joy spreader. No, he's a volcano. But there is one player that I am backing this week that you could describe as a hothead, the final tip. And but I'm taking a chance on him because I think he's going to be in a sort of unusually good mood this week. There's a lot of mood analysis.
Hoping that's going to be a big price, Steve. So give it to us.
Very much so. Thomas Peters, 66-1. 66-1 with AK Betts is an enormous price, isn't it? Because he's returning to a state that he absolutely loves. He enjoyed himself here at the University of Illinois, top class amateur. He warned us how good he was going to become with their amateur career. Turned pro in 2013, has won six times on the GP World Tour, starred in a Ryder Cup, finished fourth on his Masters debut, won the World Cup. Then joined LIV Golf in February last year. His second best LIV result of last year came in LIV Chicago. He was second in the Soudal Open on the DP World Tour in May. He was brilliant over the weekend of his last LIV event, LIV Greenbrier. So, yeah, I think Peter's going to be more invested than usual this week in the American state he loves more than any other.
And you I see love skepticism. Him. I see you skepticism. Love him. You love him more than any other player, don't you, Thomas Peters? How many times in your tipping career do you think you've tipped Thomas Peters?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I'm a Peters loyalist, but yeah, a focused Peters is a dangerous animal indeed. And I think you're going to get a focused Peters this week.
Okay, right. He is a big price then. I wouldn't want to be playing him at a short price, but he is a big price. So we'll take that on board. Right, we've mentioned John Rahm. A word on Neiman, who's obviously the other player in the frame for the big bucks.
Yeah, he's had a cold putter lately. Obviously, I've got huge respect for him, but I much prefer DeChambeau at the prices. Now, there's no one else. There's definitely no one else to get involved with in LIV Golf. I just checked my notes here. I don't think we had anyone on the radar there. No, it all fell into my lap this week. This is when things are going well. Things just seem so easy and so straightforward, and you see things so clearly. So I'm seeing the ball big at the moment, and very happy with my staking plans this week.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Steve. Right. We'll wrap up with the Solheim Cup then. That is on. What is it? Where is it? And how do we bet on it?
Yes. Well, it's USA versus Europe. Robert Trent Jones Golf Club, Gainesville, Virginia. 6,903 yards, par 72. The course opened in 1991. It's built around Lake Manassas. Yeah, widely regarded as a masterpiece. We're seeing some great golf courses this week. I mean, Royal County Down, as I say, a lot of people think it's the best golf course on the planet. This is obviously a much more modern course, Robert Trent Jones Golf Club. But again, visually stunning. You may remember it from the President's Cup, Dave. It hosted the President's Cup in 1994, 1996, 2000 and 2005. I think you were alive in 2006. So maybe, were you born in 2006? So maybe you didn't watch them. But it also hosted the 2015 Quicken Loans National on the PGA Tour. So you've definitely seen this course before. Yes. Pretty generous fairways, large greens. We've got sunny, calm, pleasant weather throughout. And then the format, I'll take you through the format before we get to the verdict. Four foursomes matches on Friday, four balls matches on Friday, then the same deal on Saturday, and then 12 singles on Sunday. So we've got 28 points up for grabs.
Okay, lovely. AK Betts have priced up the top combined point scorer. So if you want to follow it on an individual basis, how each player's getting on. We've got Nelly Calder in at 7-1 as the favourite. Lilia Vu at 15-2. Rose Zhang at 10s. Lauren Coughlin at 11s. Ali Ewing at 12s. Charlie Hull at 12s as well. Steve, is that a market you've got a view on to lift the trophy USA 4-7, Europe 11-8. Tournament winner, the ties in there at 12s as well. What's your view?
Yeah, I recommend two bets with AK Bets. Team USA have actually been cut by AK Bets. They were 4-6 yesterday. They're 4-7 now. Everyone's getting on Team USA. I can understand why. USA lead Europe 10-8 in this event, but more interestingly, USA lead Europe 7-2 in Solheim Cup staged in America. Yeah, my instinct in team golf is always to support the home side. Such an advantage to be able to set the course up as you want and then have thousands of people cheering you on. It's a proven formula in the Ryder Cup. Seems to work well in the Solheim as well. Team USA, so strong. World number one, Nelly Korda, as you mentioned. Lilia Vu, the voodoo doll. She won two majors last year, nearly won the Open last month. And Lexi Thompson, we must mention Lexi Thompson, vastly experienced Solheim Cupper. This is a swan song event. You know, lovely balance to the American side because you've got Lexi Thompson, you've got Rosé Zhang, the opposite end of the scale, probably the best youngster in the world. I like the balance to the American lineup, and I think they're really pumped up for revenge because it was a draw last time out, and the Europeans retained the cup through the draw. So there was big wild celebrations from the Europeans for a draw, and I think that offended the Americans a little bit, and I think they're pumped for revenge, and I think they're going to win 16-12.
Bit of needle as well.
Bit of needle. And I see a 16-12 USA win. I think Nelly Korda is a good bet, actually. 7-1 with AK Bets for top combined point scorer, because she's almost certainly going to play five matches. She's fit as a fiddle. She's got the best Solheim Cup win percentage of anyone in her team. So if you fancy the Americans to win comfortably, which I do, and you have to pick a Yank for top scorer, the voodoo doll didn't take well to this competition. She only won one match on her debut in the last match. So I think Nelly Korda seems to relish this Solheim combat, and they'd be my two recommended bets.
Marvellous. A lovely betting heat, that one as well. 7-1 the field, if you've got a view there. So beautiful. Right, give us a roundup then, Steve, of your selections, the three competitions. We'll start with the Irish Open.
Shane Lowry, Bernd Wiesberger, Julian Guerrier, Matthew Baldwin, and Grant Forrest.
And some massive prices in there as well. Right, the Pro Court Championship then.
Maverick McNealy, JJ Spawn.
That's just two for that one, of course. And the livers.
Bryson DeChambeau, David Pooj, Thomas Peters.
Right, so we are 5 by 2 by 3, which is 10-30 each way trebles there, if you want to get involved in that. Have you got a best bet of the week? What's your strongest view, Steve?
Well, my strongest view is that USA, but we'll win the Solheim Cup, but that's 4-7. It's not going to make you rich. I suppose, of the men's events, Shane Lowry. Unless Shane Lowry overdoes it on the Guinness, I think he's going to be a leading contender in the Irish Open. I'm going to overdo it on the Guinness, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to Ireland on Sunday. But it doesn't matter what I do on the Guinness. But hopefully, Lowry will be disciplined enough. I think because he's so determined to win something this year, this will be an icing on the cake of a really solid campaign. I think he's going to resist the Guinness.
Job done. Well, it's lovely to see you, Steve. It's great to be back. You're in great form. Hopefully that can continue. And you mentioned there that you're off to Ireland. When are you going and what you got planned?
Well, I've been watching a lot of sport lately, Dave. I went to watch England-Sri Lanka at the Oval the other day. I'm going to watch England-Australia in the cricket tomorrow in Southampton. And then, Ireland on Sunday. Laytown Races on Monday. Our sponsor, AK Bet, says Laytown Races is... one of the greatest sporting spectacles in the world.
You're going to jump on the pitch? We'll get you on the pitch, right? Taking fielding some bets?
Possibly. I think that, if I'm in good condition. I'm looking forward to drinking Guinness in Ireland. It does taste better in Ireland. It's a bit cliche, but there's nothing like tasting a Guinness in Ireland. I'm going to go racing, hopefully back some winners.
Fingers crossed. Right. Good to see you, mate. We will be back next week. We've got the BMW PGA Championship, the Live Golf Dallas Invitational Match Play as well, the one that everyone's looking forward to in the Live Golf Tour there. Do remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.